Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning for our full year results Q&A conference call. It's a pleasure for me to introduce you to our new Group CEO, Geert De Winter. Please, Geert.
Thank you, Marc. Ladies and gentlemen, you all received this morning, of course, the information pack. What I would like to do is run through the highlights and then actually open up immediately for questions. Let me first run through the most important facts about the results and the outlook. We are very satisfied with the full year results 2015, as it stands for another reliable and strong sets of results for more than a decade. Bâloise belongs to one of the most profitable insurance companies in Europe, an achievement of the last 10 years, which we really feel proud about and to which we are fully committed for the next strategic chapter. The good and robust profit for the period of 512 million Swiss francs is underpinned by the following three pillars of success. One, the volume of business increased at a healthy rate of 3.3%, and we generated, as such, above average growth in our target segments and gained additional market shares. Second, our operational margin with a net combined ratio of 93.3% has never been as good as since 2008. Our ongoing focus on operational excellence, a disciplined risk-based underwriting, and our group-wide cost initiatives have led to this successful and reliable core business. Third, following an exceptionally strong year in 2014, the life business delivered a solid profit contribution despite challenging market conditions. The insurance industry, however, is facing some severe and disruptive changes in the coming years. The current economic climate will likely persist for a long time. Ever-increasing regulation and negative interest rates are pushing the industry far away from its core mission: protect life and property for our clients. We at Bâloise have the strong belief that we cannot rely on what worked well in the past, but have to find new ways to deal with today's challenges and get even closer to our customers. Luckily, we did our homework in the past and can build on a very strong platform to engage our future. We will talk in detail about our future strategic journey on the today announced Investor Day, October 26, 2016. Our future will build on three strategic principles. One, we will radically simplify our core business for our customers. Two, we will go beyond traditional insurance business and provide new services in assistance and protection. Three, we will relentlessly embed the customer focus in our corporate culture. With that, we will become the trusted choice for our customers. Partners will seek to collaborate with us. Our employees will be proud by the inspiring job they do, and investors will value us highly as a strong and sustainable business with a very attractive and reliable payout. These were the highlights. I would like to open up for questions.
The first question is from Mr. Daniel Bischof from Baader Helvea. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Two questions, please. The first one on the life side. Stripping out the 80 million of one-offs, you were, I think, nicely in line with the 200 million guidance there. Now, year to date, we've seen bond yields declining by another 30 basis points or so. Should we expect any additional negative impact from reserve strengthening in that segment? The second one is on capital management. Could you provide some more details what your thoughts were when deciding to go for an unchanged dividend?
Let me pick up the second question first, if I may, and then hand over the other question to the colleagues. Over the last couple of months, it is clear that the Swiss regulator has announced a couple of times that they will be moving much more to the standard models in everything that is related to Swiss solvency test and own capital. The intention being to decrease complexity and increase the comparability. This is a major fundamental shift if you look at what the work has been done over the last 5 years or so. And it is only generating at this point in time open questions, a lot of uncertainty, and everybody is actually making its own interpretation of what the Swiss solvency test should be. So we think there is no need, or even it is not wise, to actually disclose numbers that are absolutely unclear today. That's one. What we can say, of course, is that both with the internal models and the standard models, our solvency has always been above 100, and we've never gone to the market to raise capital for solvency reasons, and we don't intend to break that tradition. Coming back to the live question, I'll hand over to Herman Egloff, our Group CFO. Sorry.
Well, that's of course the question. Finally, what the interest rate curve is doing at closing, but if the trend is going on, you are certainly right. Then you need an additional reserve strengthening. That's quite clear. And finally, that's done on the local GAAP basis. So I just, because we had a board meeting in Belgium a week ago, and we heard a figure there, and it's exactly there. For example, the measure to have the additional reserves is the 5-year average of the Belgium government bond, and the year that falls out of that series now is 2011, and 2011 was especially high in yields. So the pressure to re-reserve the book is still going on. So that's right. Even though, I mean, that's not, I'm not saying it will cost us such and such kind of millions in the half year. That I just don't know it. We have to see what's happening there. I mean, we have seen it in the last year, just because interest rates picked up just before the end of the year. The second half of the year was somehow surprising in the result for us as well.
Can I ask a follow-up on capital management? I mean, looking at Baloise Holding, the 204 million francs in other income related to Luxembourg, I'm not quite sure I understand the nature of this. Is it called impairment reversal?
That's just the upgrade of a participation, because in the Luxembourg holding, it's the Luxembourg business and the Belgian business as well.
Okay, so excluding this item, the holding cash flow, I'm not sure, did it actually...
But that's not a cash flow. That's not a cash flow issue.
Well, therefore, I mean, the holding cash flow did actually not cover the dividend. Is that correct?
The cash flow, to say it again?
The holding cash flow to Baloise Holding did not cover the 2015 dividend.
Yes, it did, but you wouldn't see it.
Okay, so maybe could you provide some more details there, and also when...
it's always sort of the same. The biggest two dividend payers are up to now the Swiss non-life business and then the internal reinsurance business, and that's unchanged.
Okay, thanks.
But we had the Belgian dividend, for example, goes to Luxembourg, and then from Luxembourg, that's more like in a financial or tax optimization machine that you have to run how much dividend or how much cash flow you're then transferring from Luxembourg to Basel.
Okay, understood. Thanks a lot.
Maybe, Donnie, just it's me. We can get back to you on that element, just to clarify the holding statement if there are any uncertainties after this question.
The next question is from Mr. Michael Huttner from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Just on this reserving point, can you remind us what the cost was to shareholders in the first half of 2015 of that reverse Irving effort that may help us form a view on what could be done now. The other thing is, you know, as interest rates drop, so you have to add to the reserves. But at some stage, a back book, if you stop writing this traditional business, the back book starts shrinking, and then we'll release capital. And I just wondered when will that start? And then on Germany, so the combined ratio was a little bit high at, I think, 106% or something. And I just wondered, in the past, I had the hope that this is the second half, 15, was when we'd actually see below 100. Can you give a bit more color when this might happen now? Thank you.
May I just ask you to repeat the first part of the question, because we didn't get it here. The sound was very bad, so we missed actually half of the question. We got the question about Germany, all right, but the other questions were a bit blurred in somewhere, got lost in the cloud somewhere.
It's lost in the cloud. That sounds like me. Yes. No, of course. Thank you. So the first question was on the first half 2015, you added to reserves. Now, you can't tell us how much you're going to add this year, but clearly you're going to add something. Can you tell us how much you added and how much was the cost to shareholders back in the first half 15? It's just so I can understand how the accounting and the reserving works. And then the other question on reserving is a bit more complicated. So as interest rates drop, you keep adding to the, because the liabilities grow in size. But at some stage, if you stop writing this traditional business, presumably it will start releasing, as the policies mature, it will start releasing capital. And I just wondered when that might be. And then, of course, the question on German non-life. And thank you.
Yeah. Well, let me pick up the Germany question and also an attempt to the second question about the traditional business. Germany, first thing to say about Germany, of course, is that we do make profit in Germany. That's one thing. Secondly, that Germany is certainly a part or a pillar of our strategy, and that the strategy we're pursuing in Germany is correct, but it is indeed complex, and it will take longer than we expected. I think overall, if you see at the optimization program that we're running in Germany, it's delivering very good results, especially in the area of cost reduction. You might have seen that the cost rate has gone down by 1.2%, and that we actually have separated ourselves of 300 of the 400 plant colleagues. Especially promising is also that we are outgrowing the mark in the non-life and the life target segments we selected in Germany. But what is true, and where we still have a way to go, is the fact that the non-life portfolio, in terms of the quality, is not good enough yet. So we need to increase that quality by further sanitizations. And secondly, we need to grow the profitable part of the business in order to really have the sustainable scale to absorb large claims, because this is exactly what happened in 2015. We had a number of large claims which deteriorated the combined ratio. Besides that, we need to invest in the service we offer to the agents and the brokers in Germany, because that's the way we will be able to grow. But it will indeed take longer, as you suggested. On the life book, and then I'll hand over to the colleagues, but on the life book question, we are still writing traditional life business, of course. We are extending and diversifying and growing in the modern life insurance product with semi-autonomous solutions like Perspectiva in Switzerland, which is pension business. But we are continuing to write the traditional business. So there is a diversification and a shift into modern life, but we're not stopping traditional life business. We're not going in a runoff in traditional life business. But I'll leave it up to the colleagues to comment more on that.
Well, actually, it is a hard one. And the main reason for this is that you do this re-reserving on local GAAP basis. And the rules for the local GAAP are different in every country. So therefore, it's difficult to give you a sort of a thumbnail rule and say, well, if it's like this and this, then it will be like that. And the other thing which is very important is whether you're talking about a legal quote business or not. Because if it is legal quote business, then of course you're trying to steer it in a way that it is as shareholder friendly as possible. And sometimes you have to calculate around some corners and the result might look funny. Now your additional question was, when will it become free again? And sometimes it happens even now, because for example, we have recalculated the conversion rates in the group life business in Switzerland for the extra mandatory part, and that created some of the extra profits which we have seen in the second half of 2015. So therefore, it's not just a one-way road, but it is, the book of the traditional businesses is so big and so long-running. If you're just thinking about the running annuities, I think we will not be together at the telephone when we don't have to, if interest rates are going further down, so what we don't hope, but that if we don't have any portfolio left that can potentially be re-reserved. At least that's my opinion without having calculated it. But Martin, maybe you have additional comments.
Well, from the investment side, I can only add that the situation is, of course, as described by Michael Hartner or by Bischoff in the beginning, that we had a declining interest rate. So it's a little bit similar to last year. But if you have to add up to the reserves, we also have, with the declining interest rates, we have the possibility to do so. So that's the good news. That's one side. And the other side is, while the reserving is always according to the risk-free rate, we have on the investment side, we have different possibilities. And in the first quarter, the spreads have rather increased. So what you try to do is to take advantage of that and still with good quality, but try to get a little bit of that increased spread into the recurrent income, and with the risk-free investments being able to cover the reserves.
I'm just a little bit confused. Does it mean that we could actually have a positive? Because you've got different accounting, right? So under IFRS, we would see the gains, but we wouldn't necessarily see the extra reserving. So, or am I making it up? Am I being too optimistic?
No. It's normally it's not a direct link. It's a sort of the question how you work in latency. I give you one example, which I have just in present. In Belgium, you have in local GAAP a funny thing called the Fund for Future Appropriations. You can do whatever you like with it. So put money in, put money out. Now, we have this regime about local reserving, which is called the Knipperlicht Reserve. So if we do the Knipperlicht reserve, it can well be that to provide the money, we have to realize gains. But in fact, in local GAAP, we can take it from this Fund of Future Appropriations. That means in local GAAP, it might be more or less neutral, and in IFRS, you see the gains. But in fact, of course, we have put the reserves in, but maybe 2 years ago. So that makes it complicated to and that's just for Belgium. In Luxembourg,
yeah.
And in Switzerland as well.
Okay.
But that's just as an example why it's not so easy.
Not so easy. Okay. Well, I'm glad I'm not the CFO. Thank you.
But we are trying to do our best to keep the shareholder happy, believe
Great.
Me.
Great. Yes. No, no, that's very clear. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Mr. Stefan Schürmann from Bank Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I have two questions. The first one is on the duration gap. Can you maybe update on this one? I see that the average duration of portfolio has increased by almost a year to 8.9. So I assume that the gap from liabilities and assets are more or less close now. That means you expect the interest rates to remain low. And the second one, just a small one on the German life runoff deal, which you made last year. I see that was, I think, 2.6 billion of reserves off, but the average technical interest rate in the life book there remained unchanged at 3.3%. That's right.
Okay, maybe to the first question, I can tell you that indeed we have lowered the duration gap. Overall, you see that also in the interest rate sensitivity that has been coming down quite substantially. I don't think we have closed it completely because you see what we've done from the investment side, of course, is that we rolled up the yield curve due to the negative yields at the beginning of the curve and the still positive at the latter side. We rolled it up and so it's actually good if you still have a little duration gap where you can do that, because once you're fully matched, you couldn't do that anymore. So I wouldn't say the duration gap is fully closed. We are probably still around 1 to 1.5 years.
Okay, yes.
The next question is from Johnny Irwin from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my questions. Just two from me today. Firstly, just going back to capital returns, I was just wondering if you could give us any insight into what the headroom on the statutory payout ratio basis would be. I know it's getting tight on IFRS and cash. I'm just wondering what is the binding constraint there. And then thinking about the non-life business, I was just wondering if you could run us through briefly what the pricing trends and the claims inflation trends are that you're seeing in each of your key country markets. That would be very interesting. Thank you.
Well, let me try to describe the pricing situation in the different countries and then get back to the first part of the question and leave it to the colleagues. I think the pricing situation overall, and I'm not going to give the details per country, but overall what you see is that the competition is increasing, and the price pressure is increasing in the different countries. It depends a bit on the level of intensity, but we see everywhere in the non-life business throughout our countries in Europe, we see indeed a tougher game in terms of pricing, be it both in the retail business and be it in the SME and the industry related business.
For the first question, can you put the question again, because we haven't quite called it?
Yeah, sure. So I guess, you know, it's interesting to look at your payout ratio on an IFRS basis, which is just under 50%. But I was just wondering what the payout from statutory earnings is as well, whether that's more of a constraint.
Yeah, which would actually be the real thing. I answer it later. I have to calculate it.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from In-Yong Wang from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hello. Two questions for me, both on non-life. Firstly, on your expense ratio, most of the reduction in the expense ratio seems to be from the acquisition costs rather than operating costs. So given the ongoing cost reduction you have in Germany, could you just give us your outlook for what you expect to happen to this going forward? Secondly, on the long-term disability claim, which I think is the difference between the stated combined ratio in your presentation and the claims number on your IFRS accounts, that seems to have decreased significantly since 2013. Should the current level be assumed to be continuing going forward? Thank you.
Maybe first on the expense ratio, it's the expense ratio in non-life is indeed going down. It's driven by different countries. Certain Germany, certainly. As I said, we brought the cost ratio down by 1.2% by a variety of measures, and of course also the reduction of full-time equivalents. It's also driven in Belgium, where actually the same has happened. I don't know the details, but I don't think it's on acquisition cost. It's actually the cost reductions are material on the administration costs. We have growth in Belgium, which is actually driven by we have growth and actually stable acquisition costs. So I think certainly on administration part, Germany going forward, we still have the cost program and the optimization program is still outstanding. So we will further work on reducing the cost levels in Germany to come to the average benchmark of the German market. The long-term disability, I didn't get the question, or at least maybe you can repeat the question about the long-term disability.
Sure. So I understand that the difference between the claims number in your IFRS accounts and the stated number in your presentation, your claims ratio, arises from implied cost of long-term disability claims, which is included in one but not the other. But that seems to have gone down substantially since 2013. So I was wondering whether this current low level is a sustainable level.
This is Mark speaking. John, maybe to answer your question, I think your question is if you recalculate the combined ratio according to our disclosed numbers, so it's always a little bit of a gap between what we disclosed and the figures you have there. And you are referring to the annuities we have out of the accident business, and the gap there is actually more or less pretty stable over the past years. But we can get back to you by phone and clarify that. We have there the details. Yeah.
No, I think I know what you mean. I think this is the legal yield you have to put on annuity reserves in Belgium and in Switzerland. And that is producing a systematic previous year loss.
This is it. We have the details, John. We get back to you about that.
Sure. Great. All right. Thanks very much.
The next question is from Ralph Epken from KBW. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. Ralph Epken from KBW. I've got three things, and they all relate to the life book or the life business. Starting off, I've noticed in the life MCEV accounting that your earnings unwind from in-force was very strong indeed in 2015. It would help us, I think, if you could illustrate the driving forces behind that increase, especially whether these dynamics are sustainable into the future, or whether they perhaps were driven by effects which are more isolated in nature. So that's the first point. Number two relates to slide 10, where you sort of helpfully outline the analysis by source. Just relating there to the risk result, which was 240 in 2015 and 213 in 2014, just asking, these two numbers there, are they relatively clean, or are they also supported by any one-offs or any gains harvesting? What I wish to just see is whether that's a very strong increase here, whether that increase again is pure and perhaps is sustainable in the future. And the last thing I wanted to ask is, you have a sort of guidance that your EBIT in life is going to be around 200 million Swiss francs. Do you confirm that guidance for the future or not, or if not, under what circumstances would you see the need to reduce this guidance? Thank you very much.
Let me maybe start with the last question on the life result and the expected result and EBIT going forward. If you look at the strong life result in 2015, it's mainly driven by two reasons. First one is that in the first semester, the first half year, we did a number of clearly additional reserving given the low interest environment. But in the second year, as there, although interest have gone dropped also, by the end of the year, interest rates have gone up again. And that means that we didn't have to reserve as much as in the first half year in the second semester. And that's why the second semester result was so good in life. The second reason is something that Herman already alluded to, the Knipperlicht reserve or the flashing light reserve in Belgium, which is a regulatory requirement and where we have to realize gains in order to fulfill that requirement. Those are the two major reasons why our life result is up to 270 plus. If you would normalize it out of those two effects, we would indeed be in the area of 200 or just below the 200 million Swiss francs. Edmund, maybe adding to that.
Yeah. Well, first for the risk result, that is the only thing that comes to my mind, which has sort of one-off character, was the change in parametric basis in the group life business in Switzerland, what I already mentioned in the extra mandatory business. So conversion rates. Mainly, and that has, of course, for mortality an influence. I think the effect was 20 to 30 million, something like this. Then on the in the MCV unwind, that's I mean, operationally, we did a couple of improvements. You see that in the cost development as well. Then there were a couple of management decisions, like the just mentioned conversion rate, and the duration on the active side has been increased. So that are probably the most important factors that have led to the higher earnings.
Okay, thank you very much. Just two quick follow-ups. You mentioned 20 to 30 million Swiss francs impact in the risk result. Was this positive or negative impact in 2015?
Positive. Okay, cool. It's probably around 30 if I think about it.
Yes, indeed. And so that was a positive impact there. In 2014, any distorting impact in the risk result of a similar nature?
Don't remember at the moment. I have to think about it. Come back to it later. But meanwhile, I have the answer to the payout ratio on a local step basis. That's about 58% without the share buyback.
And can I just have one more follow-up? What I meant with my third question is whether your guidance, that's 200 million Swiss francs EBIT in life, will be a sustainable number going forward. This particular guidance, do you confirm this today?
Well, from what we know at the moment, yes.
Okay. And what would the circumstances be which would perhaps urge you to lower that guidance?
Let's say a massive interest rate movement, be it up or down, massive regulatory changes, anything like this.
That's very clear. Thank you very much.
Yeah, market movements, of course.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Farquhar Murray from Autonomous. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just two questions from me, both with regards to ALM, please. Firstly, on the duration gap, please could you just elaborate on the rationale for reducing that now after having kept the position open for quite so long? Is that a change in view, or does it reflect the shift in the SST model towards a standard formula and the way you wish to manage capital? And then secondly, the speech refers to liquidity management challenges. Could you just detail what precisely those are? Is that just reinvesting into very low rates or something more than that? Thanks.
Liquidity management. Okay. For the first question, I just can repeat myself or explain that I think there was the opportunity last year because of the negative yields of quite substantial duration band or maturity band that were in negative territory. We had the chance to get rid of paper that has a negative yield and invest into paper that has a positive yield. And at the same time realizing the gains, the profits that were necessary to fund the reserves. So it was basically a market decision to do so. While the interest rate or the running yield, we have been able to have a good situation in going into other currencies, because currency is the second effect that was a second order effect of the decision of the Swiss National Bank. Due to that decision and the substantially increased cost of hedging euro denominated bonds for a Swiss investors were simply not attractive anymore. They had also a negative yield beyond the yield they have in the market in euro because of the high hedging cost. So we switched from euro into US dollar and were taking advantage, as I said, of the yield curve that was still higher at the later end. So it was an economic decision to do so. The second question was the liquidity management. I mean, the biggest impact was that we got rid of liquidity. We were carrying something between 1 and 2 billion in cash usually for our needs. And given the negative interest rates, we were cutting that down to almost zero. We can do that because we have a repo agreement with the Swiss National Bank, so I can get liquidity at all time for the operational needs. And I'm just at the level of nil liquidity, and so I'm also not hit by the negative interest rate.
Okay. Just sort of follow on from that, I mean, in terms of the shift towards a standard model, I mean, how much does that change the way you've been managing the firm so far, and how much pressure does that put on the kind of headline ratio that we're kind of looking at?
Well, we wouldn't know at the moment. And I mean, frankly spoken, we have no calculation in a standard model for the whole group at the moment. It's just that we have signaled that it goes that direction. Depends a bit with whom you're speaking, but I mean, somehow the whole thing has to be comparable, and currently it isn't. And so we will see what's happening. And it might well be that certain constellations or certain decisions are then taken a bit differently, even though I think at the moment what the idea of the FINMA behind it is that the steering is according to an internal model, but the regulation is somehow fixed on the standard model. So that's a difference to the idea of the use test that was always postulated in the past.
Okay, thanks, Roger.
The next question is from René Locher from MainFirst Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. And good morning, good afternoon to all of you. First on slide 9, the Swiss combined ratio of 83.2%. You mentioned in the video presentation that Swiss non-life business benefited from low level of claims and I guess healthy PYD. So simple question is the Swiss combined ratio at current level, is this something sustainable or do we, just anticipate a little bit higher, more again to the 85-86% level? That's my first question. Then on second question on slide 31. Still working on these German business, because I guess the outgoing CEO promised us an EBIT of some 100 million sooner or later. So I was just wondering a little bit where the uplift should come. But compared to last year, the life business in Germany decreased from 35 million to 20 million. And the non-life business improved from 46 to 53. Now, I got quite a lot of information, like the 6.6 percentage point large claims. But if I deduct it from the 107, I would end up somewhere at 100%. So is it fair to assume that the underlying quality of the German portfolio is not as good as it should be? And here again, I remember that an old target was some 94 to 96% combined ratio. And then the third question is on slide 39, slide 41. It's the Swiss group life business. So, very simple question. The guarantees on the extra mandatory, this is 0.75%. So, that's the first question. And then on slide 41, there we can see quite a sharp drop in the average guarantee in the Swiss group life business from 180 to 140. And I was just wondering if you could explain a little bit more, or if you can split it between reserve strengthening, lower guarantees, business mix. Thank you.
Well, I'll try to answer at least partially some of the questions. Mm-hmm. Coming back first to the combined ratio in Switzerland, we do believe it is sustainable. It's an outstanding performance, of course, but I think by focusing on our target customer management and our operational excellence for the last decade, we have been able to outperform the market every time. We are also continuously working on the quality of the non-life portfolio in Switzerland, as in the other countries, and where we don't have profitable business, we actually take the necessary actions. So we're growing in profitable, and we are actually changing if we need in less profitable. So going forward, it's indeed the combined ratio in Switzerland should be sustainable. Germany, I've alluded to that before. It is a difficult market, that is true. The optimization program is running, costs are going down, and growth in the target segments is coming where we want it, in non-life and in life. But it is true that the quality of the non-life book is not sufficient, and we need to further work on improving that one by looking even deeper into the industry book of business. And on the other hand, by increasing the growth in the retail and the SME business branches, because they are profitable. I'm looking around to see which colleagues can actually add to this and provide somewhat more detail.
Well, I think you've said the essential thing. I mean, Renée, you said we promised certain targets sooner or later. I mean, nowadays we probably say it's rather later. About the mixed life, non-life, this is not to over-interpret. I was just looking, I think in the previous year we realized quite a lot out on the life book, and that was the reason that the drop on the life side. But the mixture between life and non-life, that's to a certain degree, that's accidental as well, of course. And I think that is not an indication of a systematic change in the business mix, as far as I see. And in Germany, of course, we have the same situation that I explained before with Belgium. You have on the local gap this ZZR, so this is Zinszuführungsreserve, and then you have a legal quote business. So therefore, it might look funny sometimes on the IFRS side, even if the legal thing was quite normal.
Mm-hmm. No, but just very quick. I mean, you have roughly 700 million German non-life premiums, you know, now.
Yeah.
If you achieve 100, you know, that would, yeah, 7% on these 700, you know, that would add 49 million to the EBIT level, you know. So what I was just asking a little bit more is that the uplift in the German EBIT should come from the non-life business.
Yeah, basically, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say so. I mean, the German life business is to a large extent a traditional business as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just on the group life, you know, the slide 39 and 41.
There was the mixture there. The average technical rate includes already the lowered BVG rate to 1.25, and in the mandatory part, and 0.75 on in the over mandatory part. So that is about how the mixture is composed.
Mm. But I think that also benefited from reserve strengthening you took in H1 15, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, that's fine. And Germa, just to follow up, you know, I remember that you always mentioned that you would like to have an extra dividend at holding level. And I was just wondering where we stand these days.
Yeah. Sorry. the question was about the dividend, whether we have retained earnings.
Yeah, I remember that you always mentioned, or that you would like to have an extra dividend at holding level.
No, not an extra dividend. That's the wrong word.
Yeah,
a certain amount in stock.
Yeah.
To be able to compensate if we have a cash flow problem from the entities one year.
And this is still the case?
This is still the case, of course, because that sounds sensible, doesn't it?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up question from In Yang Wang from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hello, just a very quick numbers question. On slide 14, I think you show us the reinvestment rate over the average reinvestment rate over the year, and the non-life is 1.8%. Could you tell us what the non-life reinvestment rate is like now, please?
Okay. The reinvestment rate now, I would put it at about the same level, between 1.8% and 1.9%.
Great. Thanks very much.
The next question is a follow-up question from Ralph Epkin from KBW. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for letting me on the call again. Three more things, if I may. One is, and apologies if perhaps you have answered this already, I wasn't on the call all the time. It's in Germany, the industrialized business in the P&C segment. I noticed you had to strengthen reserves again this year, and that's an ongoing requirement. But perhaps could you sort of add some explanation on the dynamics there? For how long do you expect that reserving requirement is going to be ongoing? And number two is just a quick numbers question. I wonder whether it's possible for you to just share with us the amount of cash that was actually remitted to the holding. And third, going back to the guidance question which we discussed, I remember you lowered your guidance from a range of 200 to 250 million Swiss francs to a spot 200 million Swiss francs, I think, in 2014. What were the drivers for that decision to lower the guidance in 2014? Thank you very much.
And maybe coming back to the first question about the industry business in Germany. As I told you, the quality of the non-life book and especially the industry business in Germany is not satisfactory. And that is why we actually are looking into it deeper now on a risk-based level, on a contract-by-contract-based level, on a client-by-client-based level in order to get the improvements in there. And we expect this to last at least another 1 to 2 years before we can actually stabilize and improve the quality of the non-life industry business in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
On the cash, on the second and the third question. The third question is difficult for me because I was not here at the time, being so. I'll leave that to the colleagues, and I'll see to the second question what comes out of it.
Well, the third question was the reason was actually the movement of the interest rates, because there we have seen the trend and said, well, if it's a bit like the question we had just at the beginning of the call today. Well, if it's going on like this, it's probably rather closer than with 200 and 250, because with 250 we need at least stable interest rates or even rising interest rates. And in 2013, we had good reason that interest rates could actually go up to a certain extent. About the cash flow to the holding, I mean, you see just the holding. You see the local closing in the holding in the financial report. Apart from that, we don't really do a cash flow reporting, and if we did that, that would be sort of a change in policy. Which could be discussed. That's probably a good idea, but then we have to drop a couple of other things. That's at least what I think.
Okay, that's fine. But perhaps just on that, I think in the past you sort of indicated that the businesses other than life sort of remitted close to 100% up to the holding.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so that's correct. And if there was a bottleneck, that would be basically the life business. I mean, that sort of interpretation is still broadly accurate.
No, that's still true with the attachment, what I said before, that, of course, where you have in-between holdings, like, for example, in Luxembourg, and that sometimes you look that you have the optimal mix for loans, internal loans you have, and tax situations and that sort of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there are a couple of intercompany effects that are in there as well. And the other thing is, of course, that it's not only dividends that come up to the holding. It's other things as well.
Yes, but as in loan interest and internal loans and reinsurance and things
exactly.
like that.
Yeah. Advisory fees, that sort of things.
Indeed.
I mean, the look-through component in the MCV gives you an idea what kind of cash is from the life business coming to the holding as well.
Yeah. Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up question from Mr. Michael Huttner from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Just on the non-life, I guess I'm a bit sick, really. Don't answer that. Sorry, not a question. But on slide 8, so you show the large claims, which are largely stable, And yet, and in your presentation and in the comments and discussion, the one of the issues is the large claims are specifically in Germany, but at the group level, they seem absolutely fine. So I'm kind of trying to weigh up in my mind, if you improve Germany, does it mean that the rest will worsen to keep that ratio roughly where it is? And the other, on the prior year, so effectively I'm trying to home in on the Germany bit. The prior year, I have in mind that the run rate, normal run rate, is about 1.5%. Is that right, or should it be closer to 2? And finally, on Germany, so you explained, and everywhere you explained the pressure on pricing, but the feeling I have is that claims remain quite benign. Or am I wrong? I was thinking, thanks to low inflation and mild winter and whatever. Thank you. In Q1 2016, of course.
I think if you look at the overall group, it is true that indeed 2015 has been a year without major large claims on a group level. So the claim situation in 2015 on a group level is certainly satisfactory. Exception made, of course, for Germany. Now, if Germany would improve, which is absolutely, of course, the intent, would the rest actually worsen? The answer is no. I don't. Germany is not the benchmark in terms of the cost ratio or the claims ratio. It's the other countries that are setting there the benchmark, of course. On the second question about the 1.5 and the 2, I didn't fully get that one.
The prior year, you call it PYLD, prior year loss
development. Year loss development.
I was just wondering what the normal run rate here.
That's a bit difficult to give an indication there, because if in an ideal world it would be nil,
mm-hmm.
Of course it isn't normally. And there we said the experience is actually between 1 and 2% now. It was even higher in the past, but the reason there was the whiplash reserves from Switzerland, and because the law decisions have changed there. But that's gone now, so therefore it will be a bit lower, I guess, between 1 and 2%.
Okay. That's fantastic. And then finally, just on Q1 trends, you said pricing is tough, but I got the impression, maybe from speaking with the other your peers, that claims are actually very low as well. Is that fair?
That's fair, yeah. I think price competition is good, but in terms of the claim situation, as of to date, I think...
There has been a couple, but...
No special things.
Brilliant. Lovely. Well done. Thank you very much.
Maybe I can... shortly summarize then the key points, and then come to an end of the call. Again, I think in 2015 we have proven some very solid results in line with the expectations, in line with what we have delivered over the last decade. The 512 million is what we think upon or slightly above the market expectation. Healthy growth of 3.3%, excellent combined ratio of 93%. Which is the second best since, Herman said earlier today, the second best ever probably, because, and then also in the life business, especially by the solid risk products, a solid profit. So we are overall absolutely satisfied with 2015 and absolutely committed to continue these kinds of track records into the next chapter.
So thank you everybody for joining in this call. If you have any follow-up questions in terms of clarifying, the IR team is of course at the full service. Please feel free to call us or write us a mail. Have a good day then. Bye.